I'm Ben Bowen. I'm the CEO of the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and a proud Wiradjuri Ngandagara man.
And this is the 18th year of Indigenous Literacy Day. Can you share how the celebration has grown and evolved over the years since it began?
Yeah, so look, the Indigenous Literacy Foundation created ILD in essence and came up with the idea. And I think when we look back at it, and it's a lot of what we're looking back into now, coming up towards the 20th anniversary. It was really just a little day. It was a day for us to get together and sort of showcase what the ILF was doing in that last 12 months. What it's grown to now is it's more of a key celebration where community are bringing their stories to the forefront. So this is not about the ILF talking about what we're doing. It's really about community talking about the good, the bad, the challenges, but the success as well. And this year to have the lads down from Katherine to talk about their book, The K-Town Grinch, and even the connection between Karen Mandaloo, who's an all published author through the ILF, and now her nephew's part of this, and the intergenerational growth. And it's great to sort of see that coming through in the 18th year.
Are you able to talk a little bit more about the book that you just mentioned? Because I did read a little bit about it in the press release, but if you could talk a little bit more about it, because it sounds awesome.
Yeah, the K-Town Grinch, it's a Creole book the boys have written. When they pitched the original idea, I wasn't quite sure where it was going, and I won't ruin the twist ending in there. So the boys had come up with an idea about a character and had brainstormed the challenges of this character going through. And look, it's a celebration of Indigenous storytelling that the ending is incredible. It actually threw me for a fair while trying to figure out where they were going to take this story, and then suddenly it ends and it's hilarious, and you see the energy of the boys, and I love watching the fact that when people are reading it for the first time, the boys are watching to see what the reaction of the audience is, and I'm sure they're going to get a big kick of that tomorrow when people see it.
The theme this year is strength in our stories for now and future generations. Can you talk a little bit more about the theme and how it reflects the work that you guys are doing as well?
Yeah, look, it's really about this future generation. Look, a lot of our conversations have always been what language is or what storytelling is, and we always talk about it in the past. And what the elders have been telling us in the communities we're working in is they really want the kids to start taking ownership of this and then bringing it forward to sort of have them in the driver's seat for what's coming or what the world is for them now. So what we're seeing is elders are still guiding, that they're still bringing language and they're still supporting that piece. But we're seeing kids actually step up to the plate and start driving the stories that they want and really become the consumers of this space and active participants so that they're telling us exactly what they want and what the opportunities they want and telling us how we can support and help them create the worlds that they want to live in the future.
And the Indigenous Literacy Day celebration includes a film that takes us into three remote Aboriginal communities. Can you talk a little bit more about the film and what you hope audiences will take away from the story on screen?
Yeah, look, it's short. It's long to keep people engaged, but look, it's short in terms of trying to capture that. And this year we're down in Ceduna, Wacoona, and Katherine, and it's really snapshotting the community behind some of the work that's coming through. So the ILF team have been at those communities for about 24 months now, working on books that are coming through, but the books don't stand alone. The books stand grounded in culture, people, and place. So this film is really about giving people an insight into those communities and seeing the people behind those books and bringing that story to the forefront so that we can all celebrate the diversity of our communities, the challenges, the good, the bad, celebrate what people are actually doing when they're given an opportunity and the incredible stories that come from country.
And how important is it that children and young people see their voices and their languages represented in books and in media?
Look, we can't underestimate it. It's one of those things, the old saying, you can't be what you can't see. That's what this is really about, is our languages, we're really coming into the first generation where language is being celebrated, that people could speak them openly. And, even my own kids now, there's a real sense of pride that they can actually speak in their own languages. So this piece is about getting the kids confident to bring that to the mainstream and really celebrate it and drive it, that, they're not stuck in the language. They're actually using that language as a strength and driving out of it. So what we sort of talk about a lot is, really our kids can speak five, six different languages, before English. Sometimes it's even more than that. That is a huge strength that they have. That shouldn't be something that they're ashamed of. We need to really focus on that strength and ability and giving these kids a huge national platform that, last year this went out to 366,000 viewers around the world. To having these young people own that story and have that pride about what they're doing and where they're going in the future, that just can't be measured by any realm at the moment.
And the Sydney Opera House is live streaming the event tomorrow. Is that correct? Live streaming?
Yeah, we've got a live event and then we've got the film there running as well. So it is a logistical nightmare for us to bring that all together. And it's really, I think it's our third year trying to do it this way. And as I said, last year we had a huge amount of people joining. It's looking like the same this year, and it's showing the value in the story that's been told. And what people can tune in and see, it's once again, it's not the ILF talking about what we do. It's really community coming down and telling the stories about them and what they want people to know and celebrate and do that. And we've got the boys from Catherine coming down to share their story. We've got cultural dancers coming in, ambassadors, performances, the whole lot. So it's just a big day for us to celebrate the incredible work that we get to do each and every day.
And can you talk a little bit about your ambassadors as well?
Yeah, so look, we've got a lot of ambassadors. I think we're up to probably about 25 now. And
Oh,
look,
wow.
they range from authors and creators themselves. We've got some artists in there, TV personalities. There's huge range because what we look at is the ability to storytell in the modern world is done on different formats. And so that's what we love about our ambassadors, to bring all those different things together and show kids exactly what can be done. And they're a mix between Indigenous and non-Indigenous ambassadors as well. So it's this real unique thing that, it's not a one size fits all. We find the right partner to come into that space. And look, anyone can join in that. You don't have to be a celebrity to be an ambassador for us. It's people who are passionate about the work we do in language and culture and publishing as well and storytelling. But anyone can get involved with us. It's just join us at the ilf.org.au and sign up to our newsletter and hear what we're doing and join us on our celebrations and join the live stream as well and just be part of the story to share what the good news is in Indigenous Australia.
And I also just wanted to talk about the work that you do right across the country, publishing, books in language and supporting local storytelling. Why is it so vital for communities to lead these projects and, really driving language and storytelling, incorporating that all together so that the next generation has these resources, I guess, to learn from?
Yeah, look, all of us growing up in community, we all experience those storytellers that are our elders and our uncles and aunties. And look, they're all so different. And that's something that's unique about our culture is, that the essence of a story might be the same, but the way we tell it or the structure or the language is different. And that's one of the biggest challenges we do have is we are supporting over 500 different communities now with books. We are publishing, not in all those 500, but some of those. We don't go in there to tell them how to do it. It's not a here's the model, fit your template in. It's really going to them to ask them how they want to tell that story. And that's what makes our books unique. We say it's a black voice to a black ear, and it's an incredible, powerful story that language is authentic. We're not trimming language to make it more pleasing to other people. It's really grinding those stories right down to what the bare essence is with the message they want to do. That's something that's not really done in the wider publishing. So for us, and it's challenging. It takes a lot of time. It might mean that we're editing and working as a publishing unit in a language that we have no skills in. So we really lean on the native speakers and the elders in that space to really guide that story. The other challenging thing for us is our stories can go for days. We all know that growing up, where uncle was just telling it day after day, and it's 3 or 4 days worth, and to condense that down to this, 20-page board book, it's near impossible. But the way that we tell stories, we layer them with such richness that we can unpack that. And and I remember growing up with Nan telling me stories that she would tell me the same story 50, 60 times, but each time she'd open a new layer for me. That's the essence we're trying to capture in these books, that giving people this new way of telling stories, but making it their own process, which is connected to the oldest culture in the world, and that power. That's what we really want to do. That's what makes these books unique, and that's the reason that these books have won awards around Australia and internationally as well.
And looking ahead, how do you see Indigenous Literacy Day and the foundation's work growing?
Look, we've got a lot more work to do. I think we've published in top of my brain about 45 languages. There's 250 languages here, up to 800 different dialects. So look, we've got a lot of work to do. And look, even we've distributed over 1 million books now. This year we'll be distributing about 150 something thousand books to over 500 communities. And look, we see that we're only reaching not even half those communities that we could be getting out there to. So part of what the ILF is, we don't go anywhere we're not invited. We are absolutely community led, and we never step foot into a community where, we can't guarantee we'll be there for 3, 4, 5 years. We work with community, we sit with community for a very long time, and we build the relationship, and we'll keep expanding slowly and carefully to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And we're lucky now that some of our communities we've been working with for 12, 13 years on these programs, and they continue to come back and work with us. So that's what we want to replicate more broadly, and partner better with other services in the space, so that community are getting the support they need to achieve the futures they love.